Take your Bibles, turn with me to 2 Timothy chapter number 3 is where we're taking the meat of our reading from this morning. We're going to be in a couple of places before that, but man, what an exciting time it is to be in the house of the Lord this morning. You say, well, what's so special about today? Well, today is the day that the Lord hath made, and I'm going to rejoice and be glad in it. I'm glad when they said unto us, let us go into the house of the Lord. I've been hearing people sing praises unto God. I've seen my kids up here barefooted as yard dogs singing about how good God's been to them. Man, I'm telling you what, it's a good day to be in the house of the Lord this morning. Man, I'm excited. You know, I go to a ball game sometimes, and about the time one of my kids get ready to do something, I'm up on the edge of the bleachers. I was about to get like that back there. I mean, I'm telling you what, God's wanting to do something in our church, and we just need to turn loose and let Him do it this morning. I'm thankful to be in the house of the Lord. If you're here and you're visiting with us this morning, we want to welcome you. If you need anything, hey, we got guys standing around everywhere waiting to welcome you as you go out the back doors or as you came in this morning. If you need a restroom, nursery, anything at all, as you go out one of these doors, you're going to bump into somebody, ask them, they'll be glad to help you in any way that they possibly can. Most of all, I want you to concentrate on listening for the still small voice of God. Listen for Him to speak to us. You know, we have an opportunity this morning. I know that God can speak to me in my bedroom. He can speak to me in my car. But hey, I have been praying this morning and throughout the week this week that God just fill this place with His presence this morning. I've been praying that God just allow His Spirit to set us free and get us out of tomorrow and get us out of this week and everything that's going to go on and help us for the next 15 or 20 minutes just to listen for Him to speak to us. And I ask you to do the same for the next 15 or 20 minutes or 30 or 40, whatever it happens to be, and just listen for God to speak to you and respond to His voice. Let's go to the Lord in word of prayer. Lord, we thank You and we praise You for this day. God, I want to thank You for this opportunity that we have to be in Your house. God, I'm so thankful for Your presence that's here with us today. God, I'm thankful for each and every one that's here, whether it be family, church family here with us, God, or whether we have visitors that will soon be family. God, I pray that You'll just meet every need that's here, God. I pray, Your Father, dear Lord, as we leave here in just a few minutes, that we'll say that we're all closer to You, God. I pray most of all for one here today that's lost. I pray that today will be the day that they receive that small measure of faith, God, that they feel You speaking to their heart, and God, that they accept You before it's everlasting too late. God, I want to thank You and praise You for all that You've done. God, I just want to say that I love You and thank You for always making a way. In Jesus' name that I pray, amen. Again, we're going to be taking the meat of our reading from 2 Timothy, but before we get there, hey, I've been looking at some scripture this week and studying and praying and asking God what direction to go this morning, and then yesterday on Maggie had a ball tournament in Burlington, and I ended up having to drive separate. I had to work yesterday morning, and I drove down and afterwards and got to watch a couple of games. And then on the way home last night, Silas and Addie rode with me, and Maggie rode with her mama, and we was coming up the road and talking. And man, it's amazing where conversations can go with your kids when you just turn off the radio and talk for a few minutes. Take your earbuds out and spend a few minutes together while you have that time. I know today in today's time in society that everything is really fast and everybody's playing sports and everybody's going to school and all these different things and time is really fast. So when you get your kids alone in the car with them for a few minutes, get the earbuds out and cut the radio off and start a conversation and see where it goes. But last night we were on the way home and somehow the question came up. It may have been Addie that asked, but Addie asked that if you could have one of these superpowers, which one would you choose? And these were the three superpowers that she gave me a choice of. She said, would you want to be invisible, run faster than anyone, I mean like Flash, that they don't even see where you're going, or would you want to fly? So she and Silas and I, we all began to talk about which superpower that we would have. I said I would want to be invisible. And I can't remember, Silas said he would want to be really fast, and one of them said, yeah, but flying would be cool. And then they said, well, why would you want that superpower? What would you do with that superpower? I said, well, if I was invisible, then on a basketball court, I would just hang out right under the goal and let them throw me the ball and put it up right quick. Nobody would know where I was at. And they gave their reasons why they would want to do what they would want to do. And then Silas was like, yeah, you could be like the sixth man on the court and steal the ball. Nobody ever knew you were there. And I said, yeah, man, that's good. That's what I'd like to have. So we begin to talk about these superpowers and what we would do and what we would do with these superpowers. Well, then it led into some other conversation. And I asked them, I said, okay. I said, if you could know when you were going to die. Yeah, Daddy had to get all serious with it. We were talking about superpowers. But I said, if you could know when you were going to die, would you want to know? And that conversation took a complete left turn. And man, we was just all over the place with that conversation. Well, then I said, okay, well, let's go back to the superpower conversation. I said, if you could have a superpower, that you could change anybody's life that has an addiction. If you know people that have addictions and you had the power to change their life, or you could have $10 million, which would you choose? Everybody got quiet for just a minute. And Addie, she spoke up and said something to the effect of, well, and this is a true 11-year-old answer. She says, well, people with addiction scare me, so I don't know how to help them. And I was like, yeah, I can understand that. She said, so I think I would take the money. Silas looks at me and he says, well, Daddy, let me ask you something. He said, do I have to pay taxes on the $10 million? And I was like, well, yes, honey, you got to pay taxes on everything that you get. I mean, good gracious, where in the world did that come from? Do I have to pay taxes on $10 million? So the conversation went on, and we were trying to figure out which we would choose. You know what? The $10 million, it represents power in our minds, don't it? We think if we had $10 million that we would have the power to never have another problem. If we had $10 million, we would be respected and people would love us, and man, we would be a hero. It almost is kind of like a superpower. But then as we kept talking and we kept thinking, and I kept thinking about the scripture that I'd been reading this week, look with me at Acts chapter number 1. Shannon's going to put it up. Acts chapter number 1, verse number 8. Now, Jesus is getting ready to ascend. He's already died on the cross. He's been in the grave, and he is getting ready to ascend back up into heaven. And I want you to look what he tells his disciples. He says, but ye shall receive power. Power. Now, sometimes we think we don't have any power, and we look at all of these superpowers, but Jesus tells his disciples, he says, but ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and in Samaria and in the uttermost part of the earth. Christ has given us power because the Bible tells me that he is not a respecter of persons, and what he told his disciples that he was getting ready to ascend, he has given us the same thing. He said, I'm going to give you power, and we have power right now. Because the Holy Ghost, if you have accepted Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, the Holy Ghost now lives on the inside of you. The Holy Ghost is now part of you, and now you have received the power of the Holy Ghost. But now I want you to look with me in 2 Timothy chapter number 3. 2 Timothy chapter number 3, and I'm going to read several verses here. There's really only one verse that I want to get to, but I want you to understand as we read this that we should be reading about characteristics of lost people when we start here in chapter number 3 of 2 Timothy. This know also, that in the last days perilous times shall come, for men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, without natural affection, truce breakers, false accusers, and I can't even say that next word, but you can see it, fierce despisers of those that are good, traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasures more than lovers of God. Now see, as we read those first four verses, we should be saying that in the last days, that lost people, that, and we got into this conversation last night, even in the car, that the spirit of Antichrist is going to be so hard and that it's going to be so strong that all of these actions are going to take place. These characteristics of lost people are going to be very strong and we're going to be able to see it. But I'm here to tell you, and I think that most of y'all will agree, that we're living in a time and we're living in a sad time that the characteristics of lost people is creeping into our churches and creeping into the saved people. When you see somebody and they tell you that they're saved and they go to church and the fruit shows all of these characteristics, the Bible tells me, for one thing, that I can know a tree by the fruit that it bears. But besides me being able to see into your heart and being able to know whether you're saved or not, sometimes the characteristics that we know that should be of lost people, they're showing up in saved people, they're showing up in our churches. So I know these characteristics here. We should be talking about lost people, but let's read verse number 5. Having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof. From such, turn away. Now, as we read that verse of Scripture, and we're going to know in Acts chapter number 1, verse number 8, that he says that you shall receive power. That we want this superpower. And God says, I have given you power through Jesus Christ, that I'm going to give you that power through the Holy Ghost. But what my question to us is this morning is the power that Christ has given us, the power that God has said you can have through the Holy Ghost, do we have a form of godliness this morning, or do we have the power of God on our lives? Are we living our lives in a way that reflects that we have the power of God on our lives? See, when we have superpowers like Silas and Addie and I were talking about last night, everybody around can see that superpower. Unless you're invisible, then they can't see you, but they know that's going on. But they see that you have something exceptional in your life. They would see that you have something that you're able to do something that they can't. They would see that you have something that they don't have. But this morning, I want to know that as we as Christians, are we living our lives in a way that reflects that we have the power of God on our lives, or do we have a form of godliness and denying all of His power in our lives? Are we denying that we have the power of God in our lives? Are we living in a way that denies the power of God to work in our lives? Hey, because I want to tell you this morning that we can have a form of godliness by coming to church. We can have a form of godliness by being in the choir. You can have a form of godliness by being a deacon, by being a preacher. You can have a form of godliness and still deny the power of God on your life. You can still be in a place that you can be paying your tithes and be a good person and loving people in the community and doing all the right things and still not have the power of God on your life. Does my life show the power of God? Now sometimes, I mean, on Sunday mornings, when I get up here, I feel like I have the power of God on my life. I feel like God just protects me, and He takes me and says, I'm going to take you a little dummy for just a little while, and I'm going to let you proclaim my word, and then I'm going to let my Holy Spirit speak to people's hearts, and for some reason they're going to come back again next Sunday. I don't know why, but they're going to. That shows me the power of God. But as we look here and He says, you have a form of godliness, but you're denying the power of God on your life. But see, if we had these superpowers that we were talking about last night, if I really was able to be invisible, if you really could fly, if Silas really could run like Flash, I guarantee you that he would use it. I would guarantee you that I would use it. I would be invisible. I would sneak into your home and watch what you do during the week without you knowing that I'm there, so to have something to preach on next Sunday. Amen. And you could sneak into my home and do the same. I mean, I ain't trying to, you know. If we had the power, I mean, good gracious, what would it be if your pastor had the ability to be invisible? Y'all probably go to church somewhere else, wouldn't you? I would. But you know what? Whether I'm there or not, God is. God knows exactly what's going on in our lives. God knows what's going on in my life. And my life sometimes shows that I deny the power of God in my life. I don't use what God's given me. He says, you have received the power through the Holy Ghost. But are we out showing other people this power, this superpower? Are we using it? But sometimes we act so defeated. We act like life has got us by the tail and it's just shaking us every which way. We act like we don't have anything to be joyful about. We act like we don't have anything to be happy about. We act like life is just terrible. And yet God is saying, I have given you the power to overcome all of that, that in this world you are going to have tribulation. He says, but be of good courage because I have overcome the world. Where is that power at in our life? And where does that power come from? Now, He said that He was going to give it to us through the Holy Spirit. He says, but I will give you the Holy Spirit, give you power through the Holy Spirit. But I want to show you where our power comes from. And you don't even have to pay taxes on this power. This is something that nobody else can do. Nobody else can take away. Nobody else can even affect in your life once you surrender unto God. So look at these couple of scriptures with me. Let's look at Romans chapter number 1, verse number 16. For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. Now we know what the gospel of Christ is. The gospel of Christ is that He loved us so much. Remember a couple of weeks ago when we were talking about the foreknowledge of God and how He foreordained Christ, and don't get lost in that. But before Adam and Eve ever messed up, God knew they were going to mess up, and He provided a way for all of that even before it ever happened. Yeah, explain that. Silas told me last night, he said, Daddy, he said, I just want to know how long God's been around. I said, He's been around forever. He said, that's not an answer. I want to know how long. Hey, some of these stuff we can't understand. We can't comprehend. God is God, and we just have to believe God and trust God and have faith in God and go, I believe it because it's written. I'm going to just trust it 100%. So God knew that we were going to need a Savior. Now, the gospel of Jesus Christ is that Jesus loved you so much that he was willing to take on an earthly form, come to this earth, live for 33 and a half years or so, perfect, without sin, give his life on a cross, shed his every drop of blood for you, and that he was put in a grave, and on the third day, he got up, he conquered death, hell, and the grave. He provided a way for you to have forgiveness of your sins, that he's seated on the right hand of the Father, and one day he's coming to get us. Okay, that's the gospel of Christ. And he says, for I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. Now, I want you to kind of notice something. He says, to everyone that believeth. So that sort of does away with you're born for heaven or you're born for hell. He says, I want you to know that if you believe in me and you trust in me and you invite me into your heart, if you believe the gospel of Jesus Christ, he said, it is available unto you, and that is the power. He says, for I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation. If you are here and you're a child of God this morning, you know that you have accepted Jesus Christ in your life. You know that he has forgiven you of your sins and that he lives on the inside of you, that you have the power of the gospel of Jesus Christ on the inside of you, and nothing in this world can hurt you. Nothing in this world can harm you. You say, well, wait a minute. Are you saying that people can't kill me, that people can't hurt me? I'm saying that if you do, they still ain't done anything bad to you because you're going to be in the presence of God. You have that power in your life this morning. Don't deny that power in your life, that you have the power of the gospel of Christ. If you want to know where you received that power from, I don't know where I would ever receive the power of being invisible, or being able to run real fast, or being able to fly, or $10 million. If any of y'all can help with that, I would appreciate it. But I don't know where I would ever receive that power, but I want to tell you about a night when I was 7 years old and Jesus Christ spoke to my heart. I was laying there listening to radio. I was scared to death that night. The aliens was coming to get me. That's what I was afraid of when I was little. I was terrified of UFOs, and I had a brother that was 4.5 years older than me that always told me every night that tonight could be the night that the UFOs come to get me. So I went to bed terrified every night. And I remember laying there that night, and I had a radio there in my bed. We still had cassette tapes at that time. Some of you that don't know what that is, we'll show you sometime. But we had cassette tapes, and I put that cassette tape in there, and I hit play, and I had some earbuds and or headphones at that time. And I was laying there, and there was a song that come on. And as that song was playing, I began to say my nighttime prayer, my routine nighttime prayer. And I said, now I lay me down to sleep. I pray the Lord my soul to keep if I should die. And as soon as I said, if I should die, God's Holy Spirit began to tug on my heart and said, you know that it is possible for you to die. It is possible that you don't wake up in the morning. It is possible for that to happen. And if that happens, you'll never be with your family again, because I knew all my family knew Christ. And I received power that night. I got up out of my bed and I ran into the living room. I said, Daddy, I need to be saved. I need to ask Jesus Christ into my heart. I didn't give him John 3:16. I didn't tell him any sins that I had committed. I didn't tell him how that Jesus was going to come back and get us one day. I said, I just need to be saved. And we got down beside our little old blue recliner. It was a lazy boy. And we got there and I had my little popple in my hand. And I began to cry out unto God and say, God, I'm sorry that I'm a sinner. Please save me. I want you to be Lord of my life. And that night I received the gospel of Christ, and there's nothing that nobody else can do about that. It can't be taken away. But am I using my superpower the way that God gave it to me? Am I sharing that with others? Let me give you one more verse and I'll be done in just a minute. 1 Corinthians chapter number 1, verse number 18. For the preaching of the cross, is to them that perish foolishness. In other words, he's saying to lost people that don't want to hear about the love of Christ and don't want to hear what Christ did for them on the cross, it's foolish that I get up here and slobber. Hey, this morning I'm especially slobbery. I don't know. I'm glad y'all are out there, because I see it flying everywhere up here. It don't make sense to why I'd get up here and slobber and sweat and study and pray and do all this kind of stuff. It don't make sense to a lost person. And he says, the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness, but unto us which are saved, it is the power of God. You want to know where you get your power from? Not only when the Holy Spirit come inside of you, not only is it the gospel of Christ, but it is the cross. that the cross is my power. There's some people, they don't want to talk about the cross anymore. The cross is an ugly, grueling scene. It is a place where we see that somebody shed every drop of blood, where some people were mean, that there were bullies, that they were all these things. And I want to tell you this morning that the cross, it is an ugly picture of death. It is an ugly picture of punishment. But I want you to know also that it is a picture of the power of God, of Christ loving me so much, of Christ giving mercy and grace and forgiveness unto my heart, of a place of comfort. When I think of being around the cross and being at the foot of Christ and Him giving His life for me, an unworthy sinner, living this saved life is so tough and I mess up so much, but yet God loved me so much to allow Jesus Christ to come give His life for me on the cross. Hey, there's power in the cross of Christ. Hey, they were singing about the name of Jesus this morning. There's some power in the name of Jesus and what He did for us there on the cross. But my question is, after all of this power that God has given us, man, just take this into your mind for just a minute. Christ died on the cross over 2,000 years ago. And there is so much power in what He did over 2,000 years ago that it will still save you today. There is so much power in what it did that it is for eternity. It's going to be enough. And yet, how is my life reflecting what Christ did for me on the cross? Or do I have a form of godliness? I want to tell you, church, sometimes I've got a form of godliness. I've got I go to church and I pray. And before we sit down at a meal, we all sit down, we join hands and we pray as a family. That's all good. Don't get me wrong. But that can be just a form of godliness. Where is the power? Hey, I'm gonna tell you, I don't do this every night. So don't look at me and thinking I'm trying to say I'm some super Christian. But I want to tell you how things are supposed to be. Silas started school last week. Was it Wednesday you started? So Wednesday night, I had superpowers Wednesday night. I went in there, and Autumn was in there, and she was getting his clothes and his underwear out to go to school, because that's what she does. I love you, son. She was getting these pencils in his book bag and getting his loose leaf paper for him. But she was getting him all ready to go to school. And I went in there and the girls was on the couch. My son's going to hate me one day. I said, girls, come here. Follow me. And we went in there and we all laid hands on Silas. Not that there's anything in power in my hands, but just to put us as closeness as a family. And I prayed over my son. And we all prayed over my son to keep him safe, to give him help with his schoolwork, to give him help with his athletics, to make him into the man that God wanted him to be, and pray that God would put somebody in his path that he could be a light to and that he could share the power of God with. Why don't I do that every night? Because I've got a form of godliness and I'm not completely expressing the power that God has given me. This morning, we just don't realize how much power that we have through the cross of Christ. Hannah, if you will, come on and get us an invitational song. We don't understand. Hey, if we had the $10 million, and that's not even really a superpower, but if we had the $10 million, just one time I'd like to make it rain. Wouldn't that be fun? Just one time. I'd do it one time. Probably with only $500, dollar bill at a time, because I'm tightwad. But I'd make it rain one time. I wouldn't mind using my team. If I had these other superpowers, I wouldn't mind using them, letting you see them, letting the whole world know what I could do. But I want to tell you what, the power that we have is so much stronger than any of the others that we've mentioned this morning. It's so much better than any of the others that we've mentioned this morning. You know, I go back to the question that I asked Silas and Addie. Hey, if you had the power to change one person's life. No, actually, the question was asked back to me. Do I get to change just one person's life or everybody that has an addiction? And I said, let's just say that it's everybody. And I said, no, let's say it's just one. Let's say it's just one. What if you had the power to change just one person's life who has an addiction? And that's what we were talking about. We weren't really talking about lost and saved. We were talking about addictions. I said, what if you had the power to change just one person's life? And we talked about that for a few minutes, but I want to tell you something this morning, that through the cross and through what God did for us and through the Holy Spirit that lives on the inside of us, if you're here and you know Jesus Christ, you have the power to change one person's life. You say, well, preacher, I don't have no power. Well, then you're calling God a liar. Because he says, I have given you power. Now, we know that that power is Jesus Christ. It is the cross. It is the gospel. But we have the power to change people's lives. And yet, I will speak for me. I'm so tied up in this rat race. I'm so tied up in seeing how much I can do financially, how much that we can do as a family, even the athletics and all that. I get so tied up into all of that, that I deny God's power in my life. I miss opportunities. You know, I told you I prayed for my son and said, God, put somebody in his path tomorrow that he can give you glory with his life, somebody that he can witness to. How long has it been since you prayed that God put somebody in your life? How long has it been since I prayed that God put somebody in my, because I got a form of godliness. I go to work tomorrow and I got scripture on my email. On the bottom of my email, it says that a good name is rather to be chosen than great riches, Proverbs, blah, blah, blah. I got it right down there. Oh, and that's a form of godliness. But I deny the power that God's given me to tell others about Jesus Christ. As you stand to your feet this morning, I don't know where you're at with God. Hey, and I want to tell you this, that just because we admit that we need help from God, or maybe what we've seen that we're denying God's power in our life, that don't make you a bad person. It don't make you a bad Christian. It don't make you lost. It don't make you backslid. But I think it does show us that we can do more, that we can allow God to use us to show his power. More, maybe you're here this morning and you realize that in some cases in your life that you've got a form of godliness, but you're denying God's power. You're not using that superpower that God's given us. You may have to do like I did and get down and say, God, I'm so sorry that you have given me so much power and I'm not using it. Maybe you're here this morning and you don't know Jesus Christ is your personal Savior. Let me tell you something, that there are people standing all around you that have power to show you someone that can change your life. And there's no time rather than today than to come to know Jesus Christ as your personal Savior.